Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, it's always a pleasure to shift or to open our mind to recognize that work isn't work if it really can be play, and it becomes play if it's your passion. And so with that, I introduce Christy Reidemann to the show, who's based in Savannah, Georgia. Good morning, Christy. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
You bet. Let me introduce Christy. She's a native of Illinois, and her passion for art arose after working 8 years in a hospital setting in radiology work. She returned to community college to study fine arts and found her calling in metalsmithing. She then had the opportunity to study in Florence, Italy in 2002 with a focus on jewelry, and then completed a Bachelor of Fine Arts in 2006 from Savannah College of Art and Design. And as I mentioned in the intro, of course, I am an investor in that school, with our son being a sophomore there. And quite honestly, for Christy then, there was no turning back to move to the Midwest. And instead, she took the leap to co-found the Kobo Gallery in Savannah, as well as to teach her craft. As she says in her artist statement, observing life in the present and from the past is what influences her work, as she creates objects relating to her experience in radiology, as well as being intrigued by biology, from the very basic to the most complex. And she combines these observations with unique metalsmithing techniques, so it's also about the manufacturing of her art, as well as incorporating ornament, dimension, design, and color for wearable pieces of jewelry, which, by the way, I have the pleasure of wearing one right now, this beautiful amulet, and that's, in fact, how we connected. I love it when my husband goes shopping for me, Crystal.
That's wonderful.
That's right. And of course, and our daughter Jordan has a totally different piece of yours, but she rarely takes hers off as well. So how fun it is to kind of meet the creator behind the creation.
That's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, I have to imagine when you were making that decision or coming to terms with the fact that radiology wasn't the long-term path for you, that instead you were going to switch over to the arts, that you may have heard a lot of people saying, "What? Are you crazy?" did that indeed happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I still think to this day that people, you know, when they view an artist, it's, you know, I don't know, they don't think that it's a job or that it's, you know, like when you're an artist, your priorities have to be in order. It's a business, you know, you have to not only promote yourself in business, but, you know, you have to, you know, take on the whole gamut. You have to, you know, do your book work, you have to do your, you know, promotions, and you have to keep your inventory up, and, you know, there's a lot to do with it.
And unless you have the pleasure, of course, like my husband does, in serving an artist who, Alan says to Ted, "All I want to do is paint." And Ted says, "Fine, I'll take care of everything else for you." But of course, he's in his 80s, so he isn't in that starting out mode or nearly so young in his career as you may be. But on the other hand, if you're gifted in doing all those other things, I guess that would be my question. Are you pretty mindful, though, of really restricting time on all the stuff so you indeed can enjoy and flourish creatively in your studio?
Oh, yes, yes. I think you have to be. You know, I definitely have, you know, a hierarchy of my tasks. You know, I set apart or set time, you know, for certain parts of the day to, you know, work on my Excel spreadsheets. You know, keeping, you know, the ordering, the supplies coming in, so that I can have, you know, at least, you know, 4 to 5 hours a day to sit at my bench and create, because you have to have it full circle to really enjoy the best part of it.
That's exactly right. Well, you studied radiology initially, as you said, in your early 20s, and then did work in a hospital setting for 8 years. Was this a gradual recognition that it was time for you to move on, or did some happen, or how'd you make that step?
Well, I first started off studying radiology, and I knew that working in the clinical aspect of it was not my calling. It's I put in the intro to you that I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. there's something with the clinical aspect that, you know, that people, bless their hearts, I'm so thankful that we have people in the industry that can do that.
Yeah.
But, when I was going to school for art, I stayed in the hospital setting and worked in transcription, so I was still utilizing part of my degree. And to this day, I still work part-time in a hospital just, you know, to have some extra cash flow. But, you know, I try everything in my world, you know, by teaching art and traveling and doing shows and my jewelry and everything just to keep me immersed in the art world.
Well, you made that departure then from going from Illinois to launch off and go study in Italy and then travel Europe to be inspired. That must have been just a really remarkable, special, intense time, a really important personal investment, too.
It was. I can say that, you know, my mom has probably been my rock. Mm-hmm. When I was young, she pushed me. She was like, you're not going to have this, or you may not be able to have this opportunity when you're older. Do it young. You know, get as much inspiration in your head because you'll have it forever.
And it comes back to inform you. Well, I had the pleasure of traveling to Florence out of college and with the Uriel Pass, as you described, that's how you saw
wonderful.
The country too. And I remember just going on an absolute history, art history high, particularly being in Florence with the Michelangelos in particular and the sculpture. The fact that you then gravitated to use your vision and feel for art, specifically in jewelry, of course, all of us women would say, well, no kidding, that's a natural, but I think there's more to it, isn't there? The beauty and the manufacturing nature of jewelry, but also in the execution, but the fact that it's wearable art.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, when I first started off in community college, I was studying, you know, of course, the basics and drawing, and I really gravitated towards ceramics and, you know, throwing pottery. But I had opportunity to take a community course, much like where I'm teaching here in Savannah, mm-hmm. and it changed my life when I picked up that torch and just having a methodology in how things work and bending metal and just all these amazing things that you can do with a material that's so durable. And I knew that, of course, whenever I traveled, I collected jewelry on my vacations. And it just had a quality with me starting off. And then, you know, as I've progressed through my life, it was just, you know, after studying radiology and having those memories, I made a whole body of work based on that, which you can view on my website. But then as I got older and, you know, bought a house here in Savannah, I have this great yard and I've been planting all these amazing plants. So it was just a given to be able to create these, you know, wearable forms that are from my environment. And I really think that I'm able to resonate with a lot of people when they see my work.
Well, and to that extent, because that's, of course, one thing, I can't hold up your necklace here on radio and have people get a sense of it. So you can go to Christy's site. It's Christy Reiterman, R-E-I-T-E-R-M-A-N.com. Christy, that influence of botany, of biology of the plants, of course, you're there in Savannah, Georgia, which, of course, we're out here in the Sonoran Desert on the West Coast, Southwest. But the richness of the beaches, the marshes, the wildlife, architecture, plant foliage, and the like, really just pops out of then these pieces of jewelry you've created.
Yes. One thing that that's really important to me is to get out every day and just, you know, at least spend a half an hour and, you know, feel the sun on my skin and you know, look at the way the plants are growing and, you know, all the different forms that you can get with nature. I mean, it's such an amazing influence. And I love the structures that are created from seed pods to, you know, the actual flowers. And, oh, it's just, I don't know, it's an amazing influence.
Back to this epiphany you had when you picked up that acetylene torch for the first time. would your mom or your siblings or others remind you of the time when, as a child, you, I don't know, played with matches or took things apart in the garage? Or was there any precursor to this whatsoever?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny that you asked that question. Yeah, I remember being young, and I had two older brothers, and we would, I can't even believe my mom let us, but we would sit at the table and just, like, put wax on our fingers, and I was just always drawn to candles. And I don't know if it, you know, if that was, you know, a huge influence, but, I loved fire.
You know, if you think about, of course, the foundation and the way some jewelry is done, of course, is through wax molds and, you know, metal forming and so on. Now, of course, your compositions are more actually very, you know, laser thin cut pieces that are assembled and intricately with intricate fasteners and the like. So I could see that connectivity.
Yeah. The other story that was really fun is I grew up in rural Illinois, and it's so funny. Like, I mean, I think I grew up in a town of maybe like 60 people. It was tiny. Mm-hmm. And my brothers and I used to sit on the tar roads, and it would get so hot out that the tar would pop, like bubble, and we would sit out there and we'd pop it with our fingers. And the thing that's really funny is that when I started studying in Florence, we were doing this technique called repoussé. And it's the same material. You use a sphaltum and you hit the metal onto the tar so that it, you know, when you push it with the tools, it kind of has like a little cushion in it. And so the first time I smelled that smell of the asphaltum, I was like, what is this? This reminds me of something of my childhood.
Exactly. And that's not uncommon. Of course, you're now right there in the maintained in the culture of where you then pursued your fine art degree there at the Savannah College of Art and Design. And I can say I recall, and I still have, the first cartoon that my son drew that he let me see, that is, of course, at about age 4. And he was drawing a very tiny little man. And I said, oh, Jake, you're drawing a man. He says, no, Mom, I'm drawing a dinosaur, as if, like, get a clue, Mom. And I said, oh. So I stood back and I assumed that that man was going to be standing in front of the dinosaur. And actually, the man was a reflection in the dinosaur's eye. And this is age 4. So sequential art is his calling right there at your alma mater. Tell us a little bit then about your experience at the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, definitely. I had such an amazing experience. When I had traveled back from Italy, I had applied to SCAD, and I knew I needed to have somewhere with history. And when I studied there, it wasn't just the city. The school was by far one of the most amazing programs that could ever be offered in metalsmithing. I had, I think it was like 7 to 8 different professors that I got to study under, and it was really great because, you know, in metalsmithing, you can take a lot of different routes. You know, you can be a production artist, you can be a fine artist, you know, you can work for industry, you can be a bench jeweler. And whenever I had a question about, you know, a specific technique or maybe a direction I wanted to go in life, there was always somebody there to offer advice, and just, it was unbelievable.
And I think for our younger listeners or for parents and teachers that are coaching and helping youth navigate toward that discussion of college programs or community college apprenticeships, that breadth and depth of the faculty is so important, and the life experiences that they bring. Of course, if I recall, of course, the preponderance of professors, full-time professors there in Savannah College of Art and Design, are also themselves full-time artists. So they're continuing to be informed. And you know what? I think they get a free education from you students that are otherwise paying the big tuition. So I don't know about the deal here. Well, also, your love and passion for giving back and helping the next generation, of course. I know, Christy, you've also taught and instructed in their summer programs, and then you mentioned you teach in a community program. What are some of the real takeaways for you on a personal level that comes from that teaching?
I can't explain how much I get back from it. Because, you know, when you're an artist, you tend to work in your studio alone a lot of the time. So I was really fortunate, you know, to be able to teach right after I had graduated at SCAD with the continuing education program and the Rising Star with some of the younger kids that were coming for programs right before they had entered college. But I found this, it's a program through Cultural Affairs, and it's through the city of Savannah, and I teach two classes a week, and I've had some of my students with me for 5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's amazing, like, the life experiences I get from them, because they've become really great friends of mine, and then me being able to mentor them with, you know, all of my journeys through life, you know, and all the great, you know, techniques I've learned in metalsmithing, and to see them grow, and I get to take away a lot from that, because, you know, some of those techniques I hadn't, you know, practiced in a while, and I go home, and then I get excited, and, you know, and then I'm able to create more pieces with, you know, just the inspiration of
That's right.
Them.
That's great. For those of you who may have just tuned in, we're speaking with Christy Reiterman, and Christy really has manifested what I'll call shop class as soulcraft, because she's worked with the idea of working with metals and artisans, and now she's turned it into quite a nice business. Back in 2007, then, you partnered with a couple other professionals and opened a gallery. So, again, that's one of these, oh, this isn't just for you to go and attend shows and the like, but take the leap of faith to open a gallery in the historic district of Savannah. What a spectacular experience. It's been, I suspect, quite a journey then over the years.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And, you know, I have to give SCAD a little bit of credit with that, too, you know, because in my last year, you know, they gave us a class on being an entrepreneur and
yes.
studying, you know, where are you going to take your business? And I was, you know, learned a lot from that. And I took it right the next year, and, you know, paired up with three of my friends, and we had got together, and Heather Stewart had previously owned the store in that location, but we had talked because she had just had a baby, and you know, we talked about, you know, having a cooperative and having a community of artists that could, you know, work together and share this great environment of art. And the positives that have come from it are, you know, we are all in this together, and we keep 90% of our profits, so we're not
paying.
Which is
exactly unheard of in the gallery
yeah.
model of business. Unheard
yeah.
of. You keep 90%. And,
yeah.
and then, as you mentioned earlier, though, the advantages of having a supportive community at those times when you don't want to work in isolation.
Right. Yeah. So you get out and you're able to talk to your customers and, you know, really express your art form and, you know, how you made the piece and, you know, what was it that brought you there? And that's also another way to, you know, give you a little bit of momentum to get back in the studio, because, you know, you're touching people and they want to hear your story and they want to wear your work.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be
Absolutely.
Great.
So Christy, your work was initially inspired from your medical background. And now, as you say, the garden, horticulture, botany side, do you feel other pulls taking you in new directions now with your art form?
I do. I spent the last 3 years really working on production and figuring out how to make things quick and efficient and, you know, turning a profit, which was great because I was traveling and doing a lot of the arts and crafts shows in the South and in the Midwest. But I really, really miss my fine art. I really like putting a lot of time into something and, you know, having a story and having something that's really emotional and pushing limits and, you know, just having something that somebody can look at and just really be overwhelmed.
Well, you took a departure earlier in your career and decided to travel abroad for a period of time. Do you think you're ever going to gift yourself another sabbatical? And if so, where would you go?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be amazing. you know, I'd probably be up for anywhere. And that's the thing with the shows is that yeah. it was great because I got to go to a new city and I'd always spend a couple of their days, you know, there and exploring. You know, I haven't really thought about that question in depth, but I mean, I'd be willing to, you know, sign up for some grants and, you know,
take a leap of faith. Well,
yeah.
This idea of taking risks and finding new information, you're constantly on the quest, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt. Yep.
And do you?
Yeah, I think that a lot of my life, you know, probably a word that would define me would be, I'm very curious. You know, whenever I'm in a situation, I'm always, you know, looking in detail at something and how does that inspire me? How can I incorporate that in my art? How is that relevant to me right now? How can I push that?
And so that it isn't just looking, it isn't about looking in the rearview mirror, although you certainly have been informed as you move it forward. We're speaking with Christy Reiterman again, her site, C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Reiterman, R-E-I-T-E-R-M-A-N. And for those traveling to the beautiful city of historic Savannah, it's Cobo Gallery. Christy, the idea then of your working with young people and the pursuit of their art and fine art, other advice you'd have for young people who are perhaps sitting here thinking, wow, I really wonder if I could create a profession in the art world?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I think I can't really say that it's, you know, necessarily the easiest path. Like, I've encountered a lot of hardships along the way being an artist, but, you know, I would say be smart about it, you know, read about business, you know, take in as much as possible about the best way to save money and, you know, reinvest in your business and, you know, protect yourself along the way too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can go full force, but you still have to have a pretty, you know, I don't know. You have to be strategic in it.
Exactly. I think also finding that right balance. The mere fact you said your career for 8 years was in a hospital setting, working on radiology and also looking in translations and documentations, and you've still kept a toehold there as a fallback position.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you never know, too, without realizing how that is continuing to inform your art. It isn't just gotta do, it's a wanna do in another way. Well, Christy, again, I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you for the gorgeous pieces, of course, that I'm bedecked with and my daughter enjoys. And we'll look forward to visiting your studio next time we're in Savannah, Georgia. And continue to enjoy that creative environment. What a city, isn't it?
It is. I love it here.
Yeah, and so going back to the Midwest, particularly in the wintertime to shovel snow, probably isn't in your program, is it?
No, I couldn't do it.
That's right.
I'm staying here in Savannah and I'm going to enjoy it.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us, Christy.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.